in Luke chapter number 2, speaking of Christ in verse 52, Luke 2:52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And that is our desire for our school. Not only as they, we certainly love to see them grow up. Sometimes it's hard to see from moment to moment. But you walk down this hall and you start at some of those old pictures and you start looking at some of the kids and you start seeing, wow, they attended here. Now we have kids that graduated whose kids are now attending. Fantastic. Praise the Lord. And what have they grown? They've grown in stature, but our desire is that they will grow in wisdom also, in favor with God and man. That is our purpose. That is our guide from kindergarten all the way through graduation. We, as a school, tried to design our school as a biblical model, and that's what we're going to be looking at here this morning. The things that we should be doing day to day. Our school is, Lord willing, an extension of that very thought. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for our school. We're thankful for each and every student that you have given to us. Lord, so unique and so special and so thankful. Lord, we're thankful for the staff. God, we're thankful for the building. We're thankful for your word. Lord, we again thank you for the opportunity, but also the great responsibility. I'm reminded to whom much is given, much is required. And Lord, I believe you do have an expectation of what we do here each and every day. And Lord, we want to please, honor, and glorify you in it all. And Lord, as we look at these principles, Lord, I pray that you would help us to demonstrate that in our life each and every day. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we're thankful for the school. I don't think it's necessarily, I love our school. I love Christian education. I was telling our, we're having a Windows into Walker or something like that. That's our Sunday school class, and talking, they had some questions about our school. Man, Brother Norton, I like talking about our school, and I get excited about that. And why? Because it's such a great opportunity. Hey, to take a mind, take a little person and get them going straight according to the Word of God. What a great opportunity. Now, what they do after that, hey, I can't make a decision for anybody, but certainly want to help them start off right. I'm thankful for, let me just say this. I am thankful for our homeschool families. That is a difficult thing too. And Lord bless you in all that. And this isn't, LOBA against this, or if you attend a public school, well, we pray for you. That is tough. But today we're just talking about some principles here, a biblical model, if you will. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 3. As we look at our academy day, as we look at our biblical model, how do you run a school? I was thinking back as we were singing just a little while ago, thinking back to some of those first days. I remember traveling to different Christian schools and see how they run. And we had a guy from ACE, Gary Loomis, and he came and he explained things to us and Pastor Huber. And man, he got Pastor Huber excited about Christian education. And all of a sudden, we're talking about starting a school and what that would take. Sorry, I didn't turn. That's all right, I know it. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 9. And we looked at it and say, how do we want to run a school? I'll tell you how we don't want to. I know what it's not going to look like. But what is it supposed to look like? The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. From the very beginning, we don't shy away from talking about salvation at our school. Why? Because that's God's will for every single person. That's God's will for every single person. God is not willing that any should perish. Hey, he's got a plan for each and every one of you. Not just school age. If you're here today and say, man, I don't even know what I'm doing in church this morning. Hey, maybe it's to hear the gospel. Say, what is the gospel? How do I get rid of my sin? Well, it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. You got to repent of your sin. You got to turn from your sin. You got to ask the Lord to save you. And from the very beginning, we written within our curriculum and out on the hall there, not only are there pictures from our previous years and some fun little pictures there, but at the last table, or maybe it would be the first table as you walk up, but in the timeline, the last table, situated in between a couple of the years of pictures there, I put some paces. Say, what's a pace? It's a packet of accelerated Christian education, of course. That's what we use as our textbooks. And I invite you to take one of those and flip through it. If you can find an area, a page, a section where God isn't glorified and talked about, it'd be hard-pressed to do that. It's a real blessing to be able to have that. Written within our curriculum, there are spots at the bottom that says, be prepared to talk to your student about salvation. Hey, just like here, we're just offering. No one's strong-armed, no one's forced, but we have had students read the, I remember Mrs. Aldred, Keith, was reading that Hour of Prayer by John R. Rice, and he got to that and he said, Pastor Russo, I'm not sure I'm saved. Say, well, he probably got a wishy-washy first, I led him to Lord when he was 5, but I got a chance to lead him to Lord when he was much older. And there he was reading one of his Bible books. And the Lord just touched his heart, put his flag up and said, Pastor Russo, I'm not sure I'm saved. And that from a child, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Say, what's the motto for the school? Salvation. Salvation. That's the most important decision anybody can make. If you attended a Christian school and Christ wasn't talked about, I'd be concerned. Oh, sure, you could put a name on the outside, but what is done on the inside? What is talked about? If we had a church house and Jesus is never spoken up of from this pulpit, you'd be like, I'm out of here. If the gospel is never given, hey, if you come to church and no one tells you about the love of Christ and how you need him and he's the only way for salvation, well, we have a Christian school. And that model, written within our model, is salvation. Trying to give an opportunity for every single person. Our school is designed to be an extension of the things that you're teaching at home. That's why it's not open enrollment. Because we want to come alongside of parents that are teaching godly things and say, yeah, we'll reinforce that. We'll say that again to them. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart from it. So what is this place? It's a training ground to help young Christians grow up into mature Christians, to serve the Lord, whatever it is that they're going to do. Psalm 19, verse 7, I love this verse. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Psalm 19, 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Man, that first school bus comes in on a Monday morning or that year or whatever it is, and those little kids come in and they're excited. First day of school, everybody's excited. The staff's excited. They're here on time. Everybody's hooping and hollering, excited about putting their uniform back on. Here you are Sunday morning. It's like, oh, I can't believe I'm wearing my uniform to church. But come September, they're excited. They got their backpacks on, and they come walking through the doors. And you know what we're doing? We're taking simple little minds and trying to help them become wise according to the principles and the scriptures. Not street smart, biblically wise. To know the difference between good and evil. To be able to discern, and we're careful with it. Oh, we're careful. Careful to teach at an age-appropriate time. Hey, this world will teach young people things. It steals their innocence. Be careful. Biblical motto, I believe, whether you're in a Christian school or a church, is salvation first and foremost. That's the most important decision that you could ever make. Right. If you're here today and you don't know for sure, if you don't know where for sure, you're going to spend eternity. So how could anybody know? I hope I do enough good to outweigh my bad. No, the Bible says that ye may know that ye have eternal life. If you don't know that, allow someone to show you from the Scriptures what it means to be a Christian. Hey, give me a call. I'd love to talk to you about it. But after that, now how do I live? I was talking to our Sunday school class there, and when a family, a mother and a father, they have a little baby, they don't just be like, all right, good luck growing up, and walk away. No, there's some instruction. We got to take the simple and help them become wise. There's some growth. Hey, as a Christian, I'm the same I've been for the last 20 years. And you're not doing it right. God desires that you would grow in Him. The school motto is a biblical model. Number one, salvation. Number two, sanctification. Go with me to Galatians chapter number 4. Maybe you're different than you and I. I don't know. Maybe you're different than me. I didn't say that right. That's good water. If you take a child and you just leave them alone, what happens? Fire? Flooding? Broken things, ramps, jumps, hospital trips, eyes shot out. That's, you don't leave little people alone. They need supervision. As a parent, you know this. If the children are quiet, investigation is necessary. Wait a second, it's been a little while since I've heard any screaming. Where are they? And you come and you barge into their room and they're like this, markered from head to toe. Peanut butter in their hair. Say, what are you saying? Hey, we need some oversight. And that's biblical. Galatians chapter number 4 and verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under, look at these things, tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Hey, again, I don't want to step on anyone's toes here, and I'm not trying to, if your situation is this, I'm not poking fun, and I understand there's unique situations, but the plan is to help our children grow, and then move out of the house and move on. Be successful independently. That's the plan, that they could do that. Now, I understand life circumstances and things sometimes change and difficulties or whatever, and I understand that. So if your situation's that, I'm not beating you up over it. But the plan is, as dad, you're in charge of their education, and you need to put tutors and governors. Maybe that's at home. Maybe there's a schoolhouse that follows the things you're teaching. I think it's important for young people to be under tutors and governors until appointed time, understand, until they can think for themselves maybe a little bit. And then you can send them out, let the leash out a little bit. But I think having some oversight is important. Our school, our desire of our school is to be an extension of your home. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. Hey, that's why we have accountability with as Christians. That's why if you want to grow as the Lord, Wednesday night I mentioned, I need help getting back into running. I'm fat. I'm out of shape. I want to start running again, but I have a hard time getting the shoes on and getting out. I had someone text me this week. Hey, I'm doing a 5K. You want to sign up? Well, that's not the encouragement I needed. Well, it was. And what do I need? I need some oversight. I need someone to encourage me. Hey, that doesn't go away when you grow up, but certainly is very important when you don't know how to tie your shoes or you don't know about life. Now, our young people, we had a group of teenagers up here, some 20 kids. They think they got life figured out. If you've been down the road a little bit, you know. Brother Sutliff's doing exactly what I was going to say. You snicker to yourself. You have no idea about life. The most difficult thing is what to wear, and we already tell you what to wear at our school. You got no idea. You think you do, but you need some oversight for a little while. You need some governors and tutors. Proverbs chapter number 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, what is it? There's safety. Now it's important to get right counselors. There'll be a counselor that'll tell you something contrary to the Word of God. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for biblical counseling. I'm looking for someone that's going to come alongside the things that we're doing at our house and come alongside and be an extension of that. Amen. That's like Ontario Baptist Academy. If you desire to raise your kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord, well, I got a place for you. Because those little people need oversight. And there's safety in that. Proverbs chapter number 15 and verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. I've heard pastors say this, and I week after week preach here, and so thankful for our congregation. I'm thankful. This week I was so, not impressed, but so blessed by you all. Say, how so? I got guys coming out in the rain trying to work on mowers and get that taken care of. Your care about the mower, it was more than care about the mower. It was care about your church, and it just so touched my heart. I just can't even tell you, gentlemen. And then you ladies rallying together, getting some food together and doing stuff, and you just, time after time after time, just blow me away. It's just so wonderful to be here. So you're sappy. I get it. I understand. It's true. All that being said, in chapter 15, verse 22, it says this, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. As we go as a church and as a school, the school is just a ministry here, but we all could use this. We could all use some encouragement along the way. We all could use some accountability. Hey, it's really important where you go for counsel. I've sat in my office and I've had some people tell me some wacky things about the way they see things. Say, why is it wacky? Every person has a right to think the way that I understand. But when you start getting sideways of the scriptures, I'll call it wacky. Why is this world going crazy? Because they've gotten away from the principles of the scriptures. Again, the motto of our school is close. That means you got to attend a like church of faith and practice. So why do you do that? Well, we do that on purpose. Because a home that has been on purpose established to take the principles of the Word of God and make application, and then come to a church that takes the principles of the Word of God and make application. Well, we want to be the school that mimics all those things. When I talk to families that are coming, I say, can you imagine this? Your home teaches something. Your church teaches something. And now your second grade teacher, who your little daughter loves, is telling her, she's nothing more than an animal that's been evolved from a monkey. That's confusing. Mom and Dad and Pastor are telling me one thing, but Mrs. Smith is telling me something else. Who's right? Now, we can teach through that, and I understand that. But the purpose of our school is to find out or take a family that says, I'm going to run it through the Word of God. Take a church and run it through the Word of God. And now we have a school that's going to run it through the Word of God. That's our desire. Are we perfect? Oh, no, not at all. Constantly having to adjust and learn things along the way. But our parents are incredibly gracious, and we're thankful for that. The biblical model, number one, is salvation. Number two, with oversight. Number three, this is very important, Philippians chapter number 3. Bible says in verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect. Now, again, say you said you weren't perfect. No, that's complete in Christ. Be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. That's what I was talking about there. A home, a church, and a school, all headed in the same direction. Say, is that the formula to have kids walk with the Lord when they graduate and grow up? Well, it certainly starts off right, but just like no matter any situation, every single person has to make a decision for themselves for Christ. But, verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. What an opportunity to put our young people in light of some people that have decided to follow Jesus. It just is another demonstration to exemplify. Again, I'm so thankful for our church family here. And as I was saying, you're a wonderful church family. I told our new Sunday school class, this is the best church in town. Absolutely. But week after week, we come in here and we preach the Word of God. And then a visiting pastor comes, a visiting evangelist. And he comes and he says, what I hear is the same exact thing that I'm saying. And all of a sudden, isn't he great? Oh, it so touched my heart. And I think, you know what? I said that last week. It's been our theme for a year. Does it hurt your heart? No, not. But it's the same way. Mom, you should hear what Miss Colby taught us. And they were telling, and his son, we were talking about that yesterday. Yeah, but Miss Colby said it in a way that was so. Man, isn't it a blessing to have someone in addition to you to be able to exemplify a walk with the Lord? Hey, it's important to find people that are walking with Christ and come alongside. Amen. You don't have to walk alone. I know we all have our race, and we talked about that Wednesday night. And there's some things that we should lay aside, right? Weights and sins. But you can run with somebody for a little while. Hey, the Lord has allowed certain students to come through our doors, and sometimes just for a year or two. But inevitably, at the end, we try and end amiably, and it's not too long after. Most of them come back and, hey, I just want to let you know I appreciate what you did there. I know I couldn't stay or I couldn't do this. I've had countless meetings with former students. Thankful for that. Thanks for demonstrating the love of Christ. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard, Philippians 4, 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you all. No, be with you. All of our staff are members of our church, and that's on purpose. Our model for our school is a biblical model, making salvation the most important part. putting oversight and checks and balances, to demonstrate and exemplify a Christianity that you're trying to teach at home. 1 Peter chapter number 5, we're almost done. 1 Peter chapter number 5. It says in verse 2, I understand this is written to pastors here. In verse 2 it says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre. Certainly our staff is not here for the financial benefit, I'll tell you that. It is a ministry, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. That's what we try and encourage, to be an example. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Thou therefore, in verse 2 Timothy 2, in verse 1, it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. And this is our goal. The same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. The word here is discipleship. Say, what does that mean? It's an investment. How many of you have an investment? Anybody know what that is? Does anybody invest their money? Thank you, Mrs. Okay, good. You take your money or assets and you take something and you buy something hoping that when you, after some time, it'll be more valuable. That's what we're doing with young people, investing in them. We're taking some information and we're pouring it into them with the expectation and hope that they would then go do that again. That's what discipleship is. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, just a page back. Look at verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, and faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. You heard Hudson this morning quote some verses. Every month they have a passage like that. What are we trying to do? Trying to incorporate sound words that they would hold fast to those things. In 1 Timothy chapter number 4, it says that they're nourished up in the words of faith. Nourished up. So the school model is a biblical model. Salvation. As we teach and preach salvation, again, our students here at school, they come to church 2 to 3 times a week. They're involved in teens and young people. I mean, they're sitting in our Sunday school classes. Thursdays at school, we have chapel. More teaching and preaching. Say, oh, they must be tired of it. Mondays, we have Bible study. That one's voluntary. And that room is full. Amen. That's kids that come to church three times a week, maybe. That's kids that sit in a chapel service midweek. That's kids that are in a Christian school that are here more than their own home. And then you're like, hey, let's have Bible study. They're like, yeah. Amen. Man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. What is that? That's taking the Word of God and the teaching of academics. Say, you're talking about mainly the spiritual side of the school. What about the academics? Tell me about the high level of academics. All of our students that ever desire to go do anything in any job are at the top of their class. We have a couple students in the WMOCO program. I get their results, where they fit in and how they're doing. And top of the class. They have a good testimony in the world. That's a blessing. When they need a job done at the WMOCO program, they go to our kids to do it. Man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. We do Iowa testing, and every single year our graduating classes, and we teach things at different times of when they test it. So some of the younger kids, it kind of ramps up, but by the time we get to high school, we're in the top percentiles, not just above average, like high level nationwide. But tell me about the spiritual stuff, because that, yeah, the academics is wonderful, but getting the Word of God in their heart and mind, man, you can't take that out. It gets sown into their heart. Salvation. Is salvation the most important thing in your life? Do you have a testimony? If you came up here and say, okay, this is the circumstance, this is the date, this is the time I met Jesus, this is the day my life was forever changed. This is the day I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Do you have a day? Do you have a circumstance? Could you tell us that? Have you allowed someone in your life to help you with accountability and encouragement along the way? Who's exemplifying, who's demonstrating a Christianity to you? Oh, I come to church on Sunday morning, but the rest of the time I spend it in the world. Hey, you better spend fellowship with some Christians. You better find someone. This is what we encourage our young people to do. You better find someone that's further down the road than you and have some time with them. Why? Because they've walked where you walked. They've gone through what you're going through. And they've done it well. You certainly would want to talk to that person. The school is fulfilling what Christ has commanded us to do. If I could ask you to support our school, say financially, no, prayerfully. Again, we're a Christian school. Listen to this. We're a Christian school in New York State. I told our class before, you got to have some thick skin to be a Christian in New York State. Why? Because politically, everything, socially, economically, it's contrary to the Word of God. Imagine trying to be an established New York State school. So how's that go? Thankfully, Hilton Central School District has worked hand in hand and doesn't tell us to do anything. We're allowed to teach and preach the Scriptures. Maybe you hear that and say, I want to get involved. How can I be a blessing? Certainly you could pray for us. We would never say no to being a volunteer. Well, I mean, under circumstances. But how about you just demonstrate a level of Christianity for our young people? I don't know, seeing all those young people in their school uniforms, and I just see them looking out at you, and I think, wow, there's some young people looking out at us. What are they seeing? What do they see you doing in the community? What do they see you doing for Christ? I'll tell you, on Saturdays, you know who the majority of the people that come out on visitation are? They're young people. When it's time to serve, it's our young people that are getting involved in Vacation Bible School and being the counselors for camp and staffing. And what are they seeing in you? Are you exemplifying a level of Christianity, a love, a care for others? Our school, I believe, has a biblical model. But if it's a biblical model, then it's applicable to you and I each and every day. We ought to be consumed with helping other people come to Christ. We ought to be consumed about exemplifying that. Who are you investing the Word of God in that they could also go and tell others also? It's a good challenge to us. Up in the gym today, we have on Friday, we had a competition, a demonstration of some talents, Jacob, that the Lord has allowed our young people to have. And we called it Talents for Christ. Say, is that like a national syndicate? Sure, yeah. And I don't think so. I don't know. But I invite you to go up to the gym. And as you walk in, you walk to the right, and it kind of goes youngest to oldest as you kind of loop around and see some of the things that the kids did. Now, I think Sela made homemade jam. 10 out of 10. highly recommend. You're allowed to eat that, but try not to touch the other stuff is what I'm saying. Benjamin made a roller coaster. Is that, can people ride on that? No, so don't touch it, all right? Caleb brought his, Caleb loves trains. Caleb Runyon, he usually sits here Sunday night. And he has his Lionel train set. That's an expensive train set, right, Mr. Runyon? Please don't touch it. Say, thank you for telling me. Oh, no, he made a sign. It says, please don't touch. But go up there and enjoy that. Be blessed by that. Pray for our school. But I invite you, again, if this is what our school ought to be, I think this is what we ought to be every single day. And maybe as a school demonstration, but as a Christian demonstration of salvation and sanctification, are you saved? Has Christ changed your life? Who have you allowed oversight? Who are your tutors and governors? That's really important. Every step of the way of your life, for someone to be able to help infuse the word and the principles of the word of God into your life. Are you exemplifying it? Are you discipling somebody? So what does that mean? Hey, let me teach you the things that I've been taught. Let's all stand. Pastor Seatman will be preaching tonight. He is our school principal. Thankful for him. Tonight we have Miss Anna playing a little something on the piano. We have some more young people singing. We were thinking about doing this. Jacob did a speech. Jacob, you don't know this yet, but Jacob memorized, I would say, what percentage of that speech do you think? Half of it. 50% of the I Have a Dream speech by Martin Luther King Jr. Maybe in a little while, maybe in about 10 or 15 minutes, if you're up in the gym, we'll quiet everybody down and he can do that up there. Jordan wrote a fantastic poem that takes someone through salvation, the suffering of Christ and the redemptive act of Christ. I invite you, don't just walk by the thing. Ever go to the museum and see all those little placards and you go, you look at the cool thing inside and then you don't even read what it's about. Take some time and read those things. Spend some time in there. Again, sign up for the Walk for Life. The things on the table are not free to a good home. We'll give them out the day of the walk, but if you can leave those here, it is part of the display, and I appreciate that. Appreciate you being here today. I know it's a little bit different. Say, you say that every Sunday. Every Sunday is a little bit different. I understand. Well, praise the Lord. We're trying to keep it fresh and new, all right? But the Word of God will always be preached. Lord willing, always be preached. And with his help, pray for our school. Pray for our school. Again, much like the church, we have a established entity that is 100% in favor of the things of God. Enemy doesn't like that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for our school. Thank you for our church. Thank you for our staff. Thank you for so many volunteers. Thank you for giving us a model. Lord, I wouldn't know how to even start. But Lord, you showed us. And God, we want to be faithful to do those things each and every day, each and every week, each and every year. Lord, help us. Lord, thank you again for each student. And Lord, if you would allow us to continue on, Lord, we would give you all the honor and praise for it. Lord, watch over us now. Protect us this afternoon. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good afternoon.